Kafka upgrades, cloud APIs, and data durability. We've got it all today on Streaming Audio. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Tim Berglund. We've got another episode of Streaming Audio here for you. Let's get to it.
I'm your host, Gwen Shapira, and with me today I have two special guests. Tim Berglund,
Hi, Gwen.
Director of Developer Advocacy / Evangelism here at Confluent.
Something like that.
And Coeli, she's a team lead at our customer success organization, and she's here to teach us some cool things about Kafka. So I'm super excited. I mean, Coeli kind of saved my life once or twice when I'm in a sticky spot with a customer. Very few people in the world know Kafka better than Coeli. So it's super exciting to have her here.
So Coeli, you run a team for Confluence supported customers. When they run into problems, they contact your folks. They file tickets and your folks.
Right. I actually work on the tickets as well.
You do? So, yeah. Nice. Yep. Okay. All right. Well, we want to kick it off talking about some releases of Kafka. Obviously, it's a mature project, right? There have been a number of them and even a number recently. And Gwen, take us through some of those, what is important about them.
So if you've been following the Kafka community, in the last 2 weeks, there have been 5 Kafka releases, which is totally unprecedented. And if you're following the mailing list, you may have had a hard time following, because I had a hard time following. So just to keep us all straight, first of all, there is the big release, 2.0.0, which is the big breaking release where we get rid of Java 7 and move on to the future. This has all the cool features. This is still in voting. Release candidate 2 is now in progress. No new blockers means it will be released by the end of this week.
And that's breaking if you're on Java 7.
It's breaking if you're on Java 7.
In terms of other APIs.
Yes. Yeah, right. The rest of the APIs. Right. Yeah. That's the reason
If you are on the thoroughly EOL'd Java 7, then it's breaking.
Exactly. Yeah. And you deserve whatever you get, really. But yeah, and there are cool features that make it totally worthwhile.
Yes.
My favorite is the error handling in Connect.
If you're on Java 7, we love you, but that doesn't mean you don't deserve what you got.
We love you and want to help you.
Yes.
Just stop.
Tough love. Anyway.
Yes. Anyway, so we have a lot of bug fix releases on all the existing releases. So if you're on 1.0, 0.11, 0.10, or 1.1, you are getting a bug fix release. Most of them fix anywhere between 25 and 40 bugs. So it's kind of substantial. All of them fix something like at least 2 to 4 blockers. And blockers are the things that can take down your entire Kafka. So if you're in an old release, it behooves you to upgrade.
Behooves you and it behooves Coeli.
And those...
Please.
Those releases are courtesy of, so Regini, who's an Apache Kafka PMC member, shepherded the 2.0 big feature release, and we appreciate it. Matthias, our committer, shepherded everything else. So he did 4 minor releases in 2 weeks, which is unbelievable. Thank you, Regini. Thank you, Matthias. Thank you to everyone in the community who found the bugs and helped us fix them, because this is really huge. I mean, it's been a big 2 weeks for Kafka.
That explains why Matthias has seemed a little distracted.
He seems distracted, but he's...
He's been working hard.
Yeah, he's been working. He's tired, I think, mostly. He shouldn't be distracted. He's done, but he might be a bit tired. Sure. Yes.
Just kidding, Matthias. You've been fine. So that's super important. But then there's the question, and this is always the valuable question that you need to get from people who work with actual deployments. Coeli, what version should we use?
Our production recommendation is 4.1.1.
4.1.1, okay. Which was not any of the numbers Gwen just said. Of course, that is a Confluent Platform version number.
Yep.
And we appreciate that. Of course, we recommend that. Mm-hmm. In terms of AK or Apache Kafka version numbers, what does that correspond to?
That is your 1.1.1.
1.1.1. Okay. So that's the recent bug fix release.
Yes.
All right. And why is that? Like, how's that going to work out for a user? What's the, a good way to think of that is, what's the impact on your team when you guys are answering tickets? What's going to change there?
Well, 4.1.1 actually has a bunch of controller fixes, and the controller is the brain of Apache Kafka. So that's really a big reason. And additionally, KIP 101, which we'll refer to, get into that and look at the details. But that has a lot of the details. A lot of those fixes went in as well.
All right, cool. Good. Well, there you go. 1.1.1 or 4.1.1. We certainly like that. So what else do we have, Gwen? We have a question from the community I'll just read here from our community question terminal. This is from Philip Schmidt. He says, one question about Confluent Cloud. When a new CP version is released, will Confluent always update immediately? Or do the customers have a say? If there are ever breaking changes, we would be reluctant to adopt a service that forces us to act immediately. And of course, we would understand.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think?
So bug fixes, we basically fix immediately.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we don't, a lot of times we don't even wait for an Apache Kafka release, because at the end of the day, it's us waking up in the middle of the night and yes. fixing it. So the cloud will always have the latest and greatest bug fixes. That's a given. Now, what if there is a big release like 2.0.0, for example? So basically, the last time that Kafka actually broke APIs in a way that a user would notice was probably over 5 years ago,
yeah.
when we moved from 0.7 to 0.8. So that was traumatic, but note that we learned from our mistakes.
Right.
So it's very unlikely that a new release is going to actually break anything for our users. So what we really do is take the Apache Kafka release, soak it, we call it a soak test for a month, which basically means that we install it on a production-like system and churn the hell out of it. It's kind of like try to crash stuff, just run everything, make sure everything works.
Beat it down,
exactly. And if everything worked, then we put it in Confluent Cloud. We'll send you a nice email saying you're now on 2.0.0. You can use all the coolest and latest and greatest features. And that's it. You're not going to have any ability to say, no, don't do it. That helps us manage our system better.
Right.
Now, if there ever is a breaking change, if we have no choice and we have to break something, then obviously it will be a whole discussion because we'll need you to do things, you'll need us to do things. It will be an entirely different story. The other time where we actually have a discussion with you is when we do something like a security fix, and then you actually get like a security notice that we just fixed those security issues, and
right.
that goes through your organization will probably have a security process and an auditor who will be very interested to know how fast we fix those issues.
Yeah. So kind of key definition there, breaking change for a cloud service has to mean breaking API change, right? And those are incredibly stable in Kafka at this point and the Confluent platform broadly. The breaking change you were just talking about in AK2, which was deprecating Java 7. I mean, the nice thing about the cloud is you don't care.
You can keep using Java 7 in your client for as long as you want.
And our SREs and infrastructure engineering folks and all that stuff who are kind of making cloud go, well, they're going to care. But that's the great thing about a cloud service is
they're not going to care either. Yeah, we give them the ready bits. They just install it and go.
Yeah.
They don't care what Java version we use.
All right, next question. Vignesh asks, what's the difference between Kafka election and Zookeeper election for schema registry during schema registry leader election during single DC, multi DC? There's a lot packed in there.
Yes, there is a lot packed in it. Let's start with the schema registry leader election, which has nothing to do with the Kafka leader election.
No.
So if you have one schema registry server, this is your schema registry. You do everything on that schema registry. Super easy. What if you're kind of afraid of, you know, high availability? What if this one server goes down?
Mm-hmm.
You may want to write two of them. But if you run two of them and you register one schema here and one schema there, which one wins?
Right.
Well, we allow reading schemas from either, but you're only allowed to register new schemas to one of them, which is the leader. So,
and of course, the state, the persistent state for both schema registries is in a topic, so
yeah,
that's all cool.
But that's all cool.
There's caching and stuff,
need,
so you write to one.
Yeah. So if you, and then if you try to write a schema to the non-leader, it will just tell you, hey, go talk to the leader. And so they need to know who is the leader. And when we wrote it, we only knew how to do leader election with Zookeeper, so we just said we'll use Zookeeper for leader election. That was like over three, four years back. And that worked nicely for a while, but now we moved to the cloud and we have users that we don't allow any access to Zookeeper whatsoever. What are they to do? Luckily, in the last 4 years, Kafka acquired its own leader election mechanism, which allows you clients to actually say, we are all part of the same group, please help us elect a leader. And it's kind of cool, and I can talk for hours about that. It's super cool. That's how Connect works, that's how Kafka Streams work. And we went ahead, and in the last release of the schema registry, we went and enabled that for schema registry, but we didn't get rid of the old mechanism. So you can now choose. If you want to, if you're already using Zookeeper for election, go on, keep using it. Nothing changed for you. If it works, don't touch it, is my general philosophy. But if you are A, using Confluent Cloud, or you have more strict who is allowed to access what rules in your organization, or you just want to be in the latest and greatest, because going forward, the Kafka leader election is the thing we'll be focusing on, and where we'll be fixing all the issues and putting more effort into, then you should probably use the Kafka leader election.
All right.
That's about it. There you
go. Kweli, does this ever come up in support?
It hasn't come up recently. We've had some people already switch over because it's released on the on-prem side.
Good, so pretty stable.
Yeah, pretty stable. Yeah,
good deal. All right.
It talks in the cloud, of course. It's,
yeah.
Someone wants to ask Confluent something else. Okay, so Jonathan Sherpek, and I'm sorry, I know I'm getting that wrong, but Jonathan, good friend of the organization, he says, maybe a good question for the next podcast. What are the most frequent pitfalls leading to data loss? Kweli, that sounds like you. I'm sure this comes up.
Yeah, yeah, it does come up. It's a pretty big one. I think we should go to like the basics first.
Okay.
So, you know, Kafka brokers, mm-hmm. how do you set that up to make sure you have a durable environment?
Okay.
Replication factor.
Okay.
Go with 3.
All right.
Because that's not too much and not wasteful. then the min in sync ISRs, that setting, min in sync replicas, that should be 2.
Min
in
sync. Oh boy.
Replicas.
Replicas. See that? Yeah, that's definitely
there.
An R there.
Yeah, definitely 2. Right. 2, yeah. Okay. We want to make sure we have at least 2 in sync while
writing.
It means
that every piece of information is written to at least 2
at least
brokers.
2 brokers.
So
before the partition leader is able to acknowledge, we're going to have at least 2 replicas. And if you, for some reason, don't have 2 in sync replicas available because they're down, then that means that write can't succeed.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So, all right.
And then on the producer side, we want, you know, axe equal to all, right?
Okay.
That'll make sure that acknowledgement is for the 2 in sync replicas.
Right.
And then the
axe all means bother to look at this number.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, of course, increase your retries. So if there's.
Yeah, the default is the default still 0?
So what's a good?
I'll look that up. Above 1.
Okay.
no, it has to be a lot above 1.
Yeah,
three,
I think
I go with 1,000.
Box some debate right here.
Yeah. I think
something like that. Though.
Yeah, I usually tell people to think in terms of time because it's 100 milliseconds between retries.
Uh-huh.
So how long does it normally take your machine to recover?
Right.
Let's say it takes you 5 seconds or 7 seconds. You want to have, okay, I'm going to retry every 100 milliseconds, which means 10 retries per second, 7 seconds, so you go with 70. And you end up with this really weird number in your configuration file.
Right.
So put a comment and write down this calculation. How did you get to 70? Because no one will believe you. But that's how I normally do things. There is very little downside to a lot of retries. So if when in doubt, go up.
Kids, that's a comment. That's not a hashtag. So why not? Like, what am I trading off against? These are conservative settings.
Right. You're trading off against your latency numbers, but durability, if that's important to you.
Right.
You know.
And that's the slider that you're setting.
Exactly.
Like, if I need to buy latency, I'm spending durability effectively.
Yeah. And also storage.
Right.
Right. Yeah, right. As a disk. Pieces of disk. That's a good point.
So this is a, you know, the basics. But another one we really commonly see is rapid restarts. So you have 3 brokers. You just bring them down all together and bring them up. That will not be good for durability.
Yeah. Okay. So
basically, what happens is the high watermark is incremented asynchronously. So you definitely don't want to do that all together. You do it 1 at a time, make sure everything returns back to ISR, be cautious about this and build this into your scripts and make sure that you're in sync before you go to the next one.
Gotcha. So you have a broker restart, make sure that it is seen as in sync. It it comes into sync again before you do another one.
Right.
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 Okay. All right. So just kind of go easy.
Yeah, that's a very common one. Another one is monitor your disks. This one doesn't get said often. I mean, it isn't said often enough.
Yes.
But disk space, don't wait for that 99% failure. again, because the high water mark is incremented asynchronously, there could be situations where the replica, there could be some log divergence in these scenarios. And as you know, you're trying to bring up the broker again, the replica's ahead of the leader, and you may need to do unclean leader election. You can get away with not losing data by keeping that disk, the failed disk broker, down, because the replica did get the correct information, but you want to avoid this. So don't wait till the last minute. I mean, definitely 80% alert on disks.
80%. Okay. Yeah, that's a good, that is actually
75 to 80 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good,
What about monitoring the under replicated partitions?
Yes, that's a big one. I think that should be part of everything, if it isn't already there. As soon as you're seeing replicas shrink, there's something going on. So an investigation should at least be launched as to what's going on.
Because it puts you at risk. You have less copies of your data.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And you don't know why.
Yes.
Okay. So that's.
And it takes some time to find out.
See that number go out there, go up, there needs to be some detective work.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Quite a bit of detective work.
Says the one who does the detective work. Right.
Yeah. So. But in general, I want to make a passionate plea for people to monitor their Kafka. I'm kind of tired to go on site to a customer, take a look at the production system and find out that A, it is completely unmonitored, 2 out of 10 brokers are down, 300 under-replicated partitions, and the whole thing is just, it's kind of a matter of luck. It's not when you lose that, if you lose data, it's when you're going to lose data, because this thing is just on the brink of failure and nobody has a clue because you're not monitoring Kafka. You cannot have a production system that is totally unmonitored. So these two, throw in some CPU, maybe some network bandwidth, and you know, it's not everything, but at least you know what is going on. Flying blind is just so, for me, it's just incredibly scary.
And then you can see when there are vital signs that are off, then you can start asking some questions and examining the patient.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah, but I don't get not knowing what's going on in the Kafka. Like, sure, it's stable. It will just stay up no matter what. Yeah. I don't need to know.
And it is, robust, but again, you have to watch it. Things break. It's the kind of world we live in. We're sorry. Oh, hey. This is a question for me.
Yes.
Okay.
You are the resident KSQL expert.
I am, and this is a comment on a YouTube video. Thank you very much for watching and for commenting. And the question is, I'm getting the error below. Could you please let me know what the right steps are to register the server? And there's some stuff, log directory, and then basically the error message is remote server address may not be valid. Error issuing get KSQL server caused by unknown host exception. Etc. So probably what's happening here, and I don't have the whole context, but this looks like the KSQL command line saying the host name, which is letters and numbers I won't read, is not resolvable or not available. It looks like it's not resolvable. So when you run the KSQL command line client, you say KSQL, and then you can provide the host name of one of the KSQL servers in the cluster, or the KSQL server if it's a cluster of one, and then that client is connecting to that server. Okay, and behind under the covers, it's a REST interface. So it says error issuing get to KSQL server. So there's this HTTP API between your client and the server that's actually running doing the stream processing. All this means is the host name is wrong. So it's and I'm getting that from the unknown host exception. So that thing is not resolving for you on this command line. Point being, when you're connecting the CLI to a server, the server needs to be up. There is nothing in particular you need to do to register it. You just point the CLI to a resolvable name that is that server. That can be an IP address, or it could be a host name. And however, you know, host names are, wherever fine host names are resolved near you, right? Doesn't matter how, just that client needs to connect to that server. That's all. It's just it's an HTTP connection under the covers. So. Long answer to a simple thing. Check the host name.
So Coeli, did he pass the interview?
Of course.
Thank you. Actually, the whole interview of hers, I would not pass. Let's be real about that. But that one I knew. All right. Do we have anything else?
I noticed something that just looks suspicious. I mean, clearly the issue is that the hostname is not resolving. Mm-hmm. But the port there really looks a lot like a Kafka port to me. And while it is possible that the KSQL server is configured to listen on the exact same port as Kafka, it is also possible that you are talking to the wrong server.
Yes.
Make sure the server the KSQL client is supposed to talk to is the KSQL server and not the Kafka server.
That's so funny,
it's
Gwen,
probably listening on a different port.
100% did not see that. That's in the command line that you gave when you asked the question. You had the host name, and I was just looking at the error. Yeah, 9092 is a Kafka port number. And you don't need to supply by default, you unless you've changed the port that the KSQL server is listening on, it'll be 80 or 443. It'll just be a default. So you don't need to supply that port number. The KSQL client is not, as it were, talking to Kafka. It's talking to a KSQL server over an HTTP interface. So don't worry about the port number. And unless you've changed the port number, and if you have changed the port number to 9092, then that is kind of a I just want to watch the world burn kind of thing. That's a very confusing thing to do. Don't do that. So probably just omit that. Check the host name. You'll be fine.
Maybe he's trying to troll support.
Maybe he's trying to troll support, in which case
that
was successful. We've
been trolled.
We spent like 5 minutes talking about the question, so it worked. But simple thing. Just make sure the host name's correct. All right. Hey, and that's all we have for today. So, guys, Coeli,
thank you for
being on the show. Yeah. Gwen, thank you for having this show.
And guys, thank you for listening. Don't forget to upgrade your Kafka. Don't forget to set the right configuration to avoid any kind of mishaps. Monitor.
You protect your neck.
Yes.
You monitor.
And hopefully your Kafka will stay up and in good shape until we see you back in 2 weeks.
Oh, and of course, we'd love it if you followed us on Twitter. That's at Confluent Inc., at Gwen Schapp, and at TL Berglund.
And feel free to subscribe to our YouTube channel and to this podcast wherever fine podcasts are sold. And if you subscribe through iTunes, be sure to leave us a comment. That helps other people discover the podcast, helps us get the word out, and we appreciate your support. See you next time.